Atheist Nomads, episode 220. Who's Will?
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to the episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And we have Aaron Riley here with us.
Hi.
And Rocco. Say hi to the people, Rocco.
No.
Aaron went to UU with Lauren when she was a kid, but they were in different classes, so didn't meet each other until years later.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a crazy random happenstance.
It really was.
But a good one, a very good one.
Yes. Makes me laugh every time I think about when we met each other.
Yes.
And you're at a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
Where you couldn't eat
gallbladder surgery.
You couldn't eat any pizza.
Hey everyone, meet this gal who's got dietary issues.
you did well though. I mean, you played it off.
Totally. I was like, I don't know these people. I'm very nervous and I can't eat this pizza.
And I can't eat cheese, everyone. Wow, that looks really good. That cheese. That I can't touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. That was interesting.
It was a good pizza party. We should do that again sometime.
I mean, we should do the pizza party, not like why we were at the pizza party though.
That wasn't much of a party as a thank you for helping me move my ex-wife's stuff out of the house. Yeah. Here's food.
And my new girlfriend.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about that.
And my new girlfriend, here she is.
I totally forgot that was the reason for the party. Oh.
That's not a party. That is
I just remember that
friend
part.
Abuse.
That's all I remember.
I mean,
the
maybe
pizza.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and meeting you. And yeah. That was
the best
part. It was
love
at first sight.
Yeah.
Seriously, he's such a jerk.
Oh well,
but he did feed me pizza at one point, so
yeah. So Aaron, you have a degree in biology.
I do. I have a fisheries and wildlife degree, to
whoop,
be
whoop.
Exact. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Science.
I don't use it. I'm paying
like
on
most
it.
People,
right.
Like
right.
Most people.
You did briefly.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. At the botanical garden.
Yeah, for about 6 years, I was working in. Environmental education. So worked in government and then nonprofit, and then realized that that pays no money and you get too stressed out.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
Generally, it's not a good idea to work a job. Well, jobs that require the degree but don't pay enough to pay back the loans are jobs that should not exist.
Oh my gosh. 100%
yeah,
agree on that one. Yeah.
Oh, totally. That should be a base rule.
Right?
Like, you teach your kids when they're in like elementary school, okay, this is how the world works.
Yeah,
don't get sucked into these kind of jobs.
Right. Well, I was like,
Mr. Liberal Arts degree, I'm looking at you.
I feel like I got duped though, because really all I wanted to do was watch sea otters play and get paid for it. So I paid $72,000 to get a degree, and now I am a catering coordinator for a really awesome sandwich shop.
Okay.
I will say that I'm a sandwich pimp. That's my unofficial title.
Oh, very nice.
All right.
So it's fun.
Any sea otters in the sandwiches?
No.
No
endangered
otter meat.
Species. You can't do that. You know, you gotta protect those endangered species. But
Keystone species.
They are. Yes. I was just thinking about that the other day.
Flippy,
and
floppy feet.
Love them so freaking much.
They're so fluffy.
Oh, God.
And you have the distinction of having loved sea otters long before that was cool, right?
Yeah. That's a very, like, past 2-3 years, sea otters have exploded in popularity.
I know.
I think it's because they keep rescuing babies.
Are they
Seattle, the aquarium, and they're posting videos of these babies learning how to swim and toss rocks. And it's just,
And they're adorable.
Right. I see what you're saying. I was like, wait, sea otters are rescuing human babies? What the hell? I didn't see this, but I get what you're saying. Yes, fluff balls. We're rescuing them from the ocean.
Yes.
The sea otter babies. Yes.
No, sea otters are rescuing babies only to dash them upon the rocks to crack them open
their
and eat their delicious
skulls.
Brains.
Yes.
Delicious clam meat.
Yes, we've all seen that South Park, right? They are in charge in the future.
Yes. They are silly, for they use tables instead of their bellies.
Yes. It's amazing.
Oh,
but you do have an awesome painting of a sea otter in your apartment.
Yeah, definitely. So. Local artist. Got to support the local artist and basically fawn over it in their garage at a Super Bowl party.
Oh, God. And what, you guilt trip them into giving it to you?
No, I was let's just say it. I was a little inebriated and I was like, this is amazing. And they were like, you can get it out of our garage. Then you can have it. And I was like, I will find a way.
Yeah.
So I did it.
That's awesome.
And I have it now, and it's gigantic and on my wall and the centerpiece of all the living room.
Quite the conversation starter.
It is.
Let's go ahead and move on to dusting off the degree. Today we're going to talk about, we're continuing the series on comparing Christian beliefs. But one of the parts that this basically is going through a broad level view of a specific part of the entire process of the Protestant Reformation.
Okay, everything you just said went right over my head, but maybe because I just slept like 15 hours.
Okay, so in the 1500s, Martin Luther was a monk who spent lots of time studying, and he came to the conclusion that the abuses of the church were bad and needed to stop, and that they were wrong. Specifically, he thought that the sales of indulgences was terrible because you can't buy your way into heaven, and indulgences were things that were getting sold, documents saying that if you give X amount of money, you will have a certain number of millions of years taken off your time in purgatory.
I mean, that's basically how they do it nowadays, right? I mean, they just call it tithing.
That's separate.
Right. I feel like that
was more transparent back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, that was on top of tithing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez.
So tithing is the bare minimum to not increase your time in purgatory. And indulgences are how you can shorten that.
Mm.
The Crusades were basically fought, and the entire recruiting drive was basically on the principle of indulgences.
Mm.
And so Martin Luther, he came to the conclusion that, no, you cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot, through good works, earn your way into heaven. You can only get there by grace alone. So God offers you grace. It is free. And that is how you go into heaven. John Calvin took it a step further. Faith is, as a prerequisite to getting grace, is a work. And so that can't be a criteria for salvation, because salvation is God's doing alone. Therefore, God chooses who is saved and who isn't.
Okay.
And he gives you grace, and that grace is what will create faith, which will then create good works. So the good works are evidence of the faith that is evidence of the grace that God gave you out of his own choice.
Oh, not the other way around. Okay.
Yeah.
So all the nice things that I do for people, it's because God chose me to be graceful?
No. You are a dirty sinner and you're going to burn in hell.
Okay, that's what I thought. Oh,
yeah. You do nice things just because you're a good person.
Oh.
Yes.
Don't let that get around, you know.
Yeah. And so you had all that going on. There was the Counter-Reformation in
was
the Catholic Church.
At the same
time? Within a decade.
Oh, okay.
Martin Luther was in Germany and John Calvin was in Switzerland. Then you had the Counter-Reformation going on, where they were starting to push, actually define free will as opposed to being an assumed thing, but just actually a doctrine of free will. You have, as a moral being, can choose to have faith. And if you have faith, then you will get grace, which will then cause you to do good works.
Okay, this is starting to sound more familiar.
And it was the Counter-Reformation that also helped end the sales of indulgences, mostly. And that was kind of what went into Anglican theology, because the Anglicans were not their Reformation was change the leader first, then update the doctrine as you see fit later. Because the whole point of the English Reformation was to change one doctrine, and that was whether or not the king can get a divorce.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't whether or not normal citizens can, just can the king.
Yeah.
With his massive codpiece.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to spread that all over.
Oh, yeah. So, but
I don't know why. I just thought of mayonnaise. It's like, just ew.
But that started the chain of free will Protestants, which has continued in the forms of groups like Methodists and Adventists, where they believe you are a free moral agent. You can choose or not choose whether or not to believe. And based on that choice of whether or not you have faith, you will get, well, if you choose faith, God will give you faith and then give you grace. And then that will cause good works. The emphasis on the good work side of it definitely varies. I know in the Adventist church, it was about every other decade. It was either focus on the love of God and faith and grace and all of that, or focus on how if you have faith and you have grace, then you will be sanctified, which means you will do good works. So if you aren't doing good works, that's actually evidence that you aren't a good, faithful person.
Oh geez.
Turn that on people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They stayed consistent with free will theology, but were able to turn it around to you must do good works or you'll go to hell.
I like that. I still prefer the idea of people having to do good works to get into heaven, even though I know it's all crazy bullshit. But these people who, like that, when I was growing up arguing with non-denominational evangelicals, where it's like, so as long as Hitler had a personal relationship with God, he was fine. And they're like, yeah. I was like, despite all the bad things he did. Yeah. I was like, well, then what kind of place is heaven anyway?
Well, most evangelicals are determinists. They,
I was barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. They believe that if Hitler had a personal relationship with Jesus, that was because God chose him for salvation. And nothing you can do if you are chosen to be saved can undo that. So presumably, under that kind of theology, if I was chosen to be saved, my apostasy means nothing.
Well, you always got that going for you, I guess.
Right.
Except I came from a free will tradition.
Yeah. That doesn't mean it's not true.
What was interesting with my experience was I believed in free will. I wanted to believe. I was choosing to believe, but I couldn't believe. And it was reading Faith Alone by R.C. Sproul, which was a evangelical counter-argument to a Catholic text about faith, arguing for determinism and predestination, that if God chooses you to be saved, then he will grant you the faith of assent, which is what allows your brain to accept whether or not something is true. Now, Sproul also had the benefit of also having a degree in psychology, so he basically took the psychology of how you believe the things that you believe and how you value the things that you value, and he just put it in Christianese.
Okay, well, that makes sense because like what you went through, mm-hmm. where you wanted to believe, mm-hmm. but that's not something you can do. I mean, it's like a switch. It's either on or it's off. And sometimes something big and traumatic can cause that switch to go off, but you can't force it.
Oh, it can also be in the middle pretend. Period.
Oh, where it's like not, halfway where the lights are kind of flickering?
Yeah. And that is a really uncomfortable position to be. I was there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Wavering between off, on, and flickering.
So much guilt.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I hear is so much guilt. I mean, when we talk religion, all I can think of is like, I just went to this thing on Sunday and we all just sat around talking about other religions-ish sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was just arts and talking crafts. About eating.
Mostly it was food.
Coffee.
Pictures.
Sticks. I don't know. Gluing stuff on sticks. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
You and I grew up with such a...
Yeah.
It was great.
Now, one thing I find interesting is that there is a debate within the atheist community about, is there free will? Which is...
Okay, which is...
Absurd.
Oh, I was thinking...
Absolutely absurd. Any kind of a scientific look at free will is absolutely absurd. But it is a purely religious concept.
Well, I was thinking not everybody can go on pure science. They need some kind of philosophical something.
But free will as a concept only has meaning as a theological term.
Oh, well, now that you kind of explained it, yeah, I can see that.
Because the default, if you know, is we do things because of reasons. We are not independent moral agents who are able to act contrary to causal factors. No, we are biochemical machines that act in response to various inputs into the system.
Inputs and outputs.
Matrix.
And as I
am a robot.
And I am also basically coming to the conclusion that we are basically driven by hormones.
Oh, chemicals. It's all chemicals.
Uh-huh.
And feelings and shit.
Serotonin.
Which is also
dopamine.
Just hormones.
Yeah. Dopamine, yeah. Man. Totally. It's pretty dope.
Listen, I just do what makes me feel good. And then I get guilty feelings
so
about it.
So much guilt.
But how is there free will if you are driven mostly by a need for certain chemicals or driven by hormones?
Instinctual survival stuff kind of takes away the whole grandiose theory of free will. But I think there is a big picture free will and then there's small picture free will. And that's what's always confused me when it comes to this debate is when it comes to like our base actions pretty much aren't our own. Because we are a species that is trying to survive to the next generation, and that's very heavily driven by everything in our bodies. But there's a higher level of like intellectual stimulation that you get from the overall, what am I going to do with my life? What kind of life do I want to live? That debate, I think, is more fun.
Although where that one gets really interesting is they've done some fMRI studies on it. And found that you have already decided the action you are about to do before you have a conscious thought about doing it.
Well, that's, and I can totally see that because that's why I overeat.
You already made that decision, didn't
totally
you?
I totally did. I am actually very honest with myself when it comes to decisions where I will pretend to like be like waffling, but I know deep down inside what I'm already going to do.
Right.
And it's almost always the bad thing. But you can't just say that. Say, well, what are we going to do for dinner tonight? Well, we could have salad or pizza.
Well,
and I'm like, oh, well, salad would be good. No, you decided 3 days ago you're going to have pizza. Lauren, you fatty.
No, but where it gets really bad is the fact that our criminal justice system is built upon a theological concept. It is entirely built on free will. And that if you punish people for being bad, they won't make those decisions, as opposed to looking at the reasons why people are doing the things they are doing and figuring out how to change their situation so they won't do that.
Oh, well, then it just comes down to money at this point.
That's just charity. That's socialism. Communism.
Oh, my gosh.
Nope. Can't do that.
I mean, gosh, we could talk about this for a while, but we can't change anything, and the reason why we can't change anything is because then we won't make any money. And I'm not saying we, as in the three of us sitting here, but
because we aren't going to
the
anyway.
System,
we're
no,
screwed yeah. out. Of
but the system, you know, it's just like
the
talking
man.
About. I was just talking to some people about larger nonprofits that seem to be doing things good.
Yeah,
good work.
They certainly put enough
right?
advertisements out,
mm-hmm. right? But then they turn around and they use their money for things that we already know. But that's because they're big funding.
Yeah,
that's how they get the funding is that yeah. people are telling them what to do. So,
oh yeah, by the yeah. way, it's yeah. Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so,
and that's exactly why we were talking about it.
Ah, yes. So, well, you have that one. American Cancer Society is another one. Where they spend most of their money on raising money. And it's a self-perpetuating...
That's what rich people do.
...entity.
Right.
That doesn't really do much other than raise money to raise money for right. the sake of raising money.
Well, there's that very, very pink nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Particularly
I mean,
pink that we're not pointing
business.
Any fingers at anything.
But it's just interesting, you know, because they claim to do a lot of research funding, but they're funding all that research that we already know about. It's, and they refuse to do environmental research because that's not how they're going to get money to pay themselves and
yeah.
then have
yeah.
these huge walks and have these huge campaigns and yeah.
Or preventative stuff.
Right.
If that were, I mean, a little bit of that, but if that were true, then Planned Parenthood would be not under attack constantly.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just the systems, you know, and I think, yeah, it's almost dangerous to think about fixing those systems.
Yeah, it really is.
But
I think you kind of hit it on the nose right there. I think especially women and people of color, is it worth risking it all to try and make this a better place? Or do you just keep your head down and try to survive?
Well, you know, I think that's the bigger question. I feel like sometimes, I'll say that. I mean, sometimes I feel like, man, I really want to go out there and I really want to lend my voice and I really want to make a difference. But then it's like, God, it's never going to happen. I mean, no one's going to listen to me.
I pat my own back there because right. I shared my story.
Right. But. Is it really going to change? And then it's just like, you're taking a spoon to a huge brick wall and you're just little by little. But we need that change. I mean, we need those people. And mm-hmm. I think we still have to have people who fight the good fight. And if not, then what's going to happen? I mean, even in our current climate, I think if we all just sat back, you know, it's just, yeah, it's hard. It's one of those things where you can really stay up at night and think
about it. Overthink it.
Somebody has been doing that or does do that yeah. all the time.
Sorry, we kind of derailed off the free
no,
will thing
yeah,
there.
Right.
But, yeah.
But it also goes into play with all of it. Do you fight systems that disadvantage you, or do you pretend that you are a free moral agent who can rise above it? Because that's also a part of how this goes into play is, if black people want to, they can get themselves out of poverty. They can pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Oh, God, I hate that argument.
I really, really hate that argument.
They're being systematically disenfranchised and disadvantaged at every step.
Yeah.
The concept that white trash are just one lottery ticket away from being millionaires.
Right.
No, you're not. There is a way of looking at everything going on in our world and blaming it all on the concept of free will.
Right.
And what's crazy is it seems like the evangelicals are the ones in power and they don't even believe in free will. They're even worse. They believe God chose who is poor, who is in power, who is rich.
God fucked up on that one.
Yeah.
It's maddening.
I think he was high. I was reaching for a bag of Cheetos and just thought this would be great leadership.
Right.
Yeah. Because as it turns out, we aren't in a world where God chooses things. We aren't in a world where we choose things. We are in a world where things happen and people respond to those things based on the tools available to them, based on genetics and training and biochemistry.
Right. Privilege.
Yeah.
That's all I hear.
Yeah.
Too.
You know, actually, my brain shut off about 5 minutes ago. I've just been thinking about kittens playing. Because that's how I deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of an automatic blinder system. It's like, there's a Hitchhiker's Guide thing where if there's special sunglasses that go completely black if they sense something that might alarm you. And that has basically been my default for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Only involves puppies and kittens.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
otters.
Let's see.
Take the magic sunglasses off.
Okay.
At least during the break, and then we'll be back with news. Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low price, full featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's archwayhosting.com. We're also brought to you by listeners just like you. You can find out more at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads. And if you can't spell atheist, just remember, starts the root is the Greek word theos. So that is why the I before E. Yeah, anyway.
This is my brain dribbling out of the side of my head.
That's why we have spell check.
That's what Google is for. Although I do find it hilarious when people, atheists, tend to think that they're highly intellectual, but there's so many out there who can't spell the damn word.
Right, because
it just makes me feel better as a human being. It's like, God, we are so flawed.
I before E, except after C.
Unless you're with a weird foreigner.
And a whole bunch of other stuff, or if it has a foreign root. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Grammar.
Spell check.
Yeah. Back in 2013, FFRF co-presidents Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker won a district court case claiming that the ministerial housing allowance tax exemption was unconstitutional since it favored religion over non-religion. Their case was then dismissed in 2014 in the Seventh Circuit with a ruling that they didn't have standing since they hadn't tried to get the exemption. So they then had a portion of their salaries and the salary of Ann Gaylor, president emeritus, designated as housing allowances, but they were denied by the IRS. This led to a new lawsuit last year. And
like, ha!
Yes, and U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Crabb has again ruled in their favor. Yeah.
Playing the system. I mean, good for them, I guess. It just, you know, showing how broken the system is doesn't necessarily fix it, though.
Well, the goal of this is to get the ministerial tax exemption removed.
Right.
And there is documented evidence of the reason for that provision in U.S. law. It was specifically to benefit ministers as valuable agents in the fight against the godless communist threat.
Right.
Okay. That's us in this room right now.
Yeah, basically.
So,
I mean,
the
card carrying member, right? Practically.
So the whole.
You need somebody who will get on that, get it shut down immediately. Is the Church of Satan,
which would qualify.
Yes, it would.
They would actually qualify for this. FFRF doesn't. And the reason they went ahead and tried to get the exemption is to prove that even though they are a lead an organization that in many ways is equivalent to a church, they provide credentials for people to officiate weddings, for example.
Okay.
They cannot in any way, based on their beliefs, become eligible for that exemption. And it's especially poignant since Dan Barker, as a former minister, used to get that exemption. And it was his loss in belief that directly impacted his taxes.
Yeah.
Shit. Taxes.
Tax the churches. Yeah, no, that's, you know, it's a good finagling. I like it.
Well, and it, with some cases, with some of those mega church pastors, we're talking millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even that science-based religion, I'm guessing, you know, they're probably getting that, that one. They're using that.
Which one? Scientology or the Church of Science or...
Oh, I'm talking Scientology.
Okay.
They don't think pay anyone well enough for them to have to pay taxes. So...
They're volunteers, mostly?
Slave labor is the more accurate term I've heard for it. Yeah. You're expected to work, I think it's like 120 hours a week at about $4 an hour.
I wish somebody would make a big blockbuster movie about Scientology and just... Make it like just show how extremely stupid it really is.
I mean, have you watched
It'd be
that?
A great sci-fi.
Yeah, have you watched that documentary? I mean, that docu-series from Leah Remini.
Uh-uh.
It's pretty powerful.
But I want to see crazy. Like spaceships and aliens and
yeah.
So really, I just need to watch Battlefield Earth. Mm-hmm. I guess that's as close as we got.
I mean,
yeah, that's basically their Bible.
These people are making millions of dollars off of a guy who wrote science fiction. I mean, that's pretty cool.
He said so himself. It's the best way to get rich.
Yeah.
Now, back to the story. the issue here basically comes down to the fact that, yeah, unfairly favors pastors. And there's no justification for it. The only case where I could possibly imagine a justification would also need to apply to teachers.
Yeah.
Who don't get paid well and have to work and live in expensive neighborhoods sometimes.
Well, when I was reading
this... only if they live in a really expensive neighborhood.
Right. When I was reading this, I was thinking, what about the nonprofit people?
Mm-hmm.
What about people who are teachers? Like, why aren't we helping them out
a little bit?
So, I mean, that's just socialist thinking, and that's just crazy.
Right.
I mean, why we can't help other people out if it doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't directly...
Giving churches tax breaks is kind of...
Well, giving pastors direct tax breaks.
Right.
Just messed up. All right.
Like, like specifically if you are a pastor paying rent, or if you own your home, you can use the fair market rent value of your home and deduct that from your salary.
Well, I just went into the wrong business, apparently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's there's the normal tax forms, there's farmer tax forms, and then there's pastor tax forms, and they're on different forms because they have different rules. I get it for farmers, pastors. No. So let's go ahead and talk about a pastor. Cardinal Raymond Burke, who we've previously talked about blaming pedophile priests on women, has asked, or was asked,
dirtbag,
how a Catholic couple in Australia should handle a gay family member coming over for the holidays. And his response, which was ridiculously rambly, and like I tried to grab audio for this, but there, I would have had to play 3 minutes worth for it to make any sense. And I'm not going to punish you with that or spend a couple hours editing it down. And I wasn't going to punish myself with that. But his response is basically that homosexual relationships are inherently disordered and damaging. Thus, you shouldn't expose children to family members living in these types of disordered relationships. But you need to keep the gay relative close so you can help when that disordered relationship makes him unhappy, which it will inevitably do. So you're damned if you do, but damned if you don't. But definitely keep them away from the children.
The children!
Always think about the children.
Says Cardinal Raymond Burke, who I would guarantee has shielded plenty of pedophile priests in his day.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I could think about when I saw that.
Anytime a Catholic priest talk, you're just like, you are suspect.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, God.
But protecting the children is so always hypocritical in the Catholic Church. Just hilarious.
Think about the children, but not when it comes to our priests raping them.
Yeah.
Well, and if we want to talk about inherently disordered relationships, how about forced celibacy?
Oh gosh, it's just such a weird. I don't know. It's just such a weird. It all boils down again to guilt. And then hormones and suppressing all our chemicals and all our natural urges and telling everybody that they're wrong. you're wrong. Don't think that way. I mean,
well, the Catholic Church is just doing it wrong.
We really look back on it, though, I mean, again, it all boils down to the money. Catholics.
Yep.
It's all about the money. It's all about the bling. So unless you're low man on the totem pole, then it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, because they also take priests, in addition to vows of chastity, they take vows of poverty.
Right.
Which means they get no salary. They just get a little allowance.
I mean, but they got all their stuff paid for. They got a room.
They don't have to pay for food. They don't have to pay for housing. They don't have to pay for transportation. Right. They don't have to pay for clothes and still get an allowance.
It's just a breeding ground for those messed up peoples. Yeah. Idiots.
Everyone's an idiot.
Everyone's an idiot. Yeah. No.
Well, such as Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who on Friday issued a guidance menu providing the administration's interpretation of federal law. We're talking 25 pages that basically said religious freedom comes first.
Oh, jeez.
Especially in discrimination cases.
God.
It's just the thought of putting religious freedom over anybody's civil freedoms and civil liberties and just basically treating them like a human being. But, you know, I can step over there and tell you that you're stepping on my religious freedom to tell you that you're an awful person.
Yeah.
You know, bully your house. I don't know. I mean, go to extremes. I couldn't even fathom going to extremes at this point because that's just not where I'm at. But yeah, it's.
But it makes you wanna.
I mean, I want to go over to his house and tell him it's my religious right to burn his lawn.
Burn his lawn. With a tiki torch.
Yeah.
No, but this news this last week was just like,
I mean, this
again, it tends to throw up my blinkers.
But yeah, so basically with this guidance, in if you're claiming anti-gay discrimination, saying it's because of religious beliefs is a reasonable justification for it. If you're claiming racial discrimination, religious beliefs are an acceptable justification. If you're claiming religious discrimination, religious beliefs are an acceptable justification. So if somebody's discriminating against you because you are a gay, Muslim, atheist, Black Puerto Rican, then you're, as long as they believe that you are a inferior and unacceptable and gross person for religious reasons, that's fine.
Yeah, that's messed up to the highest level. Messed up. I know, Lauren, I want to put my blinkers on too. That's why I watch reality TV shows and think I'm better than these rich bitches. Because at least I've got morals, but, you know, on the other hand, I don't want to listen to everybody. I don't know.
It's hard.
That's why sea otters make me so happy.
Yeah, right? Sea otters don't have these problems.
They got other biological problems. I mean, they got their own issues. But
they don't have a government that's like supporting discrimination.
Well, this government doesn't support them at all, Lauren. They don't care that they're endangered. Oh, let's do some oil drilling. Let's not care about the kelp forest. I mean, the government doesn't care about them either.
That sounds magical.
Oh no.
The magical kelp. They need to do a what was that movie? Forest, no. The fairies in the forest.
Fern Gully.
In kelp forests with mermaids. Oh,
I mean, that's Avatar. I mean, let's all be honest. Like, he went down to the bottom of the ocean. He saw a bunch of magical sea creatures. And he was like, let's make a movie about it. Because that's all I could think of. Jeff Sessions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, someone does need to tiki torch his lawn. For sure.
Well, this next story is a direct example of applying this principle that religious beliefs come first. Oh, and it is important to note that one of the things he was concerned with was that it was unfair to have it as a test as to whether or not those beliefs are actually sincerely held. To be fair, I think it is ridiculous to have as a standard sincerely held religious belief, because what's that even mean?
Right? I mean, 99% of people are not sincere, don't have sincerely held beliefs in anything.
I sincerely believe in sea otters, though.
Yeah, well, they are super pings.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But so, yeah, it's kind of redundant and oxymoronic.
So he got one point right. The other, so that basically one sentence is good. Out of 25 pages. So, you know, that you got to get something right with with that many words.
Of course.
But the Trump administration has now announced.
That's basically how I passed AP English.
Yeah.
That they will allow any religious exemptions to the contraceptive mandate for health insurance. So any private or publicly traded company, any not-for-profit or for-profit organization, it doesn't matter. And while it's not known exactly how far this go or whether insurance companies will still have to coordinate coverage in the events of a exemption, several lawsuits have already been filed by several states and the ACLU against this rule change.
Right. Oh my God, it's the stupidest, most anti-women, anti-American thing to do. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because damn it, I deserve to be able to have sex whenever the hell I want. I'm not even going to pretend it's about medical, this for medical benefits or anything anymore. It's like, no, I just want to be able to have sex when I want. Men do.
Yeah.
Well,
and I mean, and isn't Viagra covered by insurance?
Yeah.
Usually.
I mean,
usually.
So they are promoting men having sex. It's a promotion.
Well, but
so
in our situation with the acquisition that is going on at work, our insurance will be switching from one that provides contraceptive coverage to one that doesn't, and you have to call a different number to get that coordinated.
Mm.
And it's the doctor that has to call to get it covered.
Oh.
And doctors don't want to deal with this shit.
No. Yeah, they don't want to deal with it, but they have to get paid. And, okay, that sucks, but at least it's still available. if that changes, then due to the decision, the purchase that took place, that could negatively impact us directly. And that sucks.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, they're a large enough company that it works so ridiculously slow that if they're Catholic, they're going to, if they decide they're going to move on this one, they're going to move fast. It'll be the fastest decision they've ever made company wide.
Yeah. I mean, this is the one thing that I'm glad I spent as much money as I did going to an Oregon school for five years, free contraception. I mean, free yeah. birth control for women. It was something that all college students were afforded. And it was amazing. And then I moved to Idaho and didn't have insurance and then was forced into a different type of birth control. One that I do not like. But it's one of those things where the most cost effective.
Yeah. And the most cost effective is like when it comes to medication, sometimes just doesn't cut it.
No, not for everybody. I mean, because again, it goes down to hormones and my hormones do not like this at all.
Yeah.
And my body does not like this, but unfortunately, if I want to have this contraception, you know, if I want birth control, I have to have an IUD and oh God, it's awful. Doesn't work for me, but, I don't know. I just got insurance through my company. So we'll see exactly what is. Yeah, we'll see exactly what is or isn't covered.
Like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah. It's a new world. It's a whole new world for me. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what their birth control options are. I mean,
it should be everything.
Hopefully. But birth control is interesting for ladies because, I mean, depending on. It can either be free to, you know, $50 plus each time, you know.
Yeah.
So there's, but yeah, I mean, I just saw something on social media, of course. I roll my eyes. I hope everybody can understand that. But it is true. I mean, not just having sex. I want to have sex and I want to be protected, but there are, sorry, Lauren, I'll go with it. It is a medical some people do have to have it.
People who are on birth control are probably on it to help ease
something,
menstrual pain or bleeding or I don't deny that at all.
Yeah,
but it almost I was just saying that it kind of for women who just want to have sex.
Yeah, well, let's not take that privilege away from them.
That's just right. As legitimate.
Mm-hmm. It's true. No shame in that at all. I think. And you know what? We shouldn't have to justify it either, right? Like, we shouldn't have to say, it's almost like an ease on it and trying to be like, well, I take birth control because it's medicine.
Exactly.
Well, fuck.
What is that in their business?
There are going to be people who just take it so that they don't have unplanned pregnancies. Crazy. Right.
Yeah. Because that's good for everybody for unplanned pregnancies to be rare.
Right.
But not the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah.
Even though this based on the current stats, it's still, I think, a third of all pregnancies are unplanned. About a third are kind of sort of planned. And about a third are actually planned.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, speaking of man, all of these, I did not intentionally put these into a nice logical flowing order, but it just... It happened.
Kudos
Aaron's
to
magical
you.
Like that.
Representative Tim Murphy is an anti-abortion Republican from Pennsylvania who just voted in the passing of a House bill that aims to ban abortions after 20 weeks, which, of course, seems ridiculous because the federal government does not regulate the practice of medicine. That is states that does that. But Republicans want to take away states' rights and force it at the federal level.
That's so not a Republican.
I know. That is so contradictory.
But he also just announced that he was going to be retiring at the end of his term after it was discovered that he not only cheated on his wife, but he pressured his mistress to get an abortion during a pregnancy scare.
Well, maybe she had birth control.
But of course, as it turned out, she wasn't pregnant, but she does condemn his hypocrisy.
But she kept every single text.
Yep. Oh,
that's how you do it.
Power to the mistresses, man. That's
what so much hypocrisy. I mean,
well, and
I love it. I love the loudest speakers always have the most fucked up lives.
Schadenfreude.
And yes. I have to wonder why this woman didn't know better than to get involved with him.
Ugh.
She's...
Because she wanted sex, man.
She wanted money.
He's 65. She's a forensic psychologist.
Ooh. Power.
In her 30s. Cool.
I feel like a movie should be made about her.
Yeah, totally.
So...
Like, she's almost like a superhero now.
Like, she's way good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I know. Maybe it was about power.
Maybe it was about a job.
You know, I want to think this woman is real. Well, she's smart.
Yeah.
But, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah. Sometimes hormones. You can be super intelligent and have awesome degrees and stuff and still struggle to get by.
Yeah.
Shout out to everyone I know.
Hey. Hey, Lauren, you just described my life perfectly. Yeah. Thanks.
You need to find yourself a nice little sugar daddy.
Oh, goodness.
Preferably one that you could blackmail later.
That's exactly... How did you know my life?
Oh, my God, right?
Reading my journal?
I should be a life coach.
A Missouri woman who had to wait through the state 72-hour waiting period, go through an ultrasound, and read state-provided material that says that life begins at conception.
Roof.
Who then did get the abortion. She's been fighting, and she's going by Jane Doe in the lawsuit.
Right.
Has been fighting this ever since in 2014. She's had attempts made to say she doesn't have standing because she's not pregnant now.
Which is
absolutely absurd considering the fact that...
you only have standing for 9 months and good luck getting anything to court in that time.
Yeah. Right. And especially through appeal.
Jeez, it almost seems like it's set up to fail.
She... Like, her initial attempt was to get an emergency... stay or emergency injunction to allow her to forego the waiting period because it did actually cost her quite a bit of money. The nearest place where she got an abortion was far enough away that it was expensive to drive there, and she had to get a hotel room for 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
And she identifies as a Satanist.
Has had these satanic
temple support through all of this.
Nice.
Has been claiming that this violates her religious beliefs because she believes that it's not a distinctive human being, that her body is hers alone, and that life does not begin at conception. And the form she had to sign, the informed consent form, she felt was forcing her to agree to statements that go against her sincerely held religious beliefs. So while this was kind of floundering in the appellate area in Missouri courts, the state Supreme Court decided to go ahead and take it. It hadn't come to them. They said, no, this is a constitutional issue that needs to be looked at. So they're like, we're taking this.
Nice.
Because, yeah, it is a case of a law demonstrably... for the sake of religion, is violating people's religious beliefs in a way they did not think would be possible.
Hmm.
So they want to assess this.
Yeah.
And it's exciting.
Yeah.
It is exciting.
She's a superhero.
She is. I mean, 3 days. 3 days.
Dealing with this for 3 years.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, more power to her, too, for doing that. Like, that is conviction. That is like, you're not gonna scare me away. We all know why that 3 day
rule. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because other people, they're not gonna be able to afford to do that. And they're...
Well, since everybody has to go to, I think it's St. Louis.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just one place in the state.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it would be the same in Idaho where, not rural. Quite as bad, but everybody in the rural areas would have to come to Boise.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, medically fair.
Well, and that's
why you have to have equal access to health care.
That's why they've been trying to fight in the state legislature, telemedicine, because you've got women in rural areas doing a video chat with a doctor in Boise and getting a prescription for abortion pills.
Mm.
And that way they don't have to drive to Boise to get the procedure.
Right. Yeah.
Because... most cases, early on especially, all you need is a pill.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like people are waiting till they're 19 weeks pregnant and saying, oh, crap, I need an abortion this week. It's usually, I mean, there are some people, obviously, where they don't know that they're pregnant until that happens.
Right.
But for the most part, most people know well before 20 weeks.
Oh, shoot. It's been on my calendar.
And just leave it up to the typical American. It's like you flip over the month and you're like, oh, shit. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the month, too. Well, so you're screwed.
And especially if you're planning on getting an abortion, making it. You're not going to schedule that out until after you've already gone through all of the morning sickness of the first trimester.
Oh, no, you want to get rid of that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kidney stones, man. There's no good comes of waiting.
Either you're going to go all the way through to the very end and not abort, or you're going to want to get that done now.
ASAP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absurd. And what it always ends up coming down to is with those 20 week bans. Those are all justified based on fetal heartbeat and the ability to feel pain, which, okay, whether or not a 20-week fetus can feel pain is not well settled.
No, they pretty much know that it twitches when you poke them. And
yeah.
That may or may not be pain.
But being able to feel pain may not be a term that makes sense at that point.
Yeah.
And ultimately it's a scientific thing, not a legal thing.
To me, it would just make sense if they want to do a ban for the sake of this thing that could be alive. You wait until it is possibly viable outside of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Ban after that.
Yeah.
If you can do a C-section or even, preterm labor and it can survive, then okay, yeah, don't. I can see people arguing not killing that, not doing abortions at that point. But before that, it is still a part of the woman's body, literally a part of the body.
Well, and it is probably never happens that elective abortions that are not medically indicated happen that late in the process.
I mean, it may have happened like seriously
once. Maybe twice.
A couple of times, because they always find those gruesome pictures to post on college campuses.
Oh, God.
But, but no, it's 99% of them are done well before the 20-week mark.
Yeah, like 10, 12-week area.
Yeah.
Right.
But also,
I don't have any stats or anything to actually back that up right now either. So,
but they also do always try to get in fetal heartbeat into the rules. There's a heartbeat before there's a fetus.
Yeah, right. That surprised me.
We saw the heartbeat 8 weeks in.
That was
an embryo.
I'd only known for a couple of weeks that I was pregnant, and we found out early.
Yeah, and that heartbeat was not from an actual heart, because there wasn't really a heart.
It was more
yet.
Of a couple of cells that were just kind of,
it was what
up against each
other.
Will
eventually become a heart.
Right.
Was already starting to beat. Even though that was, it was fascinating. But if the goal is to ban, as long as they can get fetal heartbeat in there, and if they can get that to pass legal muster, you're looking at an 8 week ban.
Yeah.
And at that point, effectively, you just can't, it's just an all out effective complete ban.
Okay, fine. Ban it. Make these women go through it, and then you support the shit out of them for the rest of their fucking lives.
Oh, no, Lauren, that takes too much money. That's not going
to
happen.
God, if they spent half the amount of money that they did on anti-abortion stuff just to help support women after they've given birth to an unwanted child.
Right.
We would have a great adoption system. We'd have a great fostering system.
Better welfare programs.
Better welfare programs. Right. Oh, man.
Free daycare.
It would actually be exactly what I want in this world. So, yeah, get on that, people.
Yeah. And also, we can have all of that and still allow women access to safe and legal abortions.
Right.
Because if there's anything that history teaches us, and that places that don't allow abortions, is women who want abortions get abortions.
Yeah. No matter what. Yeah.
And the choice comes down to, as a society, is do we want these women to be able to survive the experience or not?
Right.
No, there are people out there who don't.
And I think we also need to decide if those people deserve to survive or not.
Yeah.
Rough.
All right. On that note, Erin, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Where can you be found?
Where can I be found? Oh, just all over.
All over.
Yes.
That makes you sound a little.
No, a little ambiguous?
No. yes. Like a cloud. An effervescent cloud. You work for a sub shop.
So
that
I work for a sandwich.
Charitable.
Yes, I work for a sandwich shop. I mean, not subs because we don't do strictly subs. There's me being very technical about it. But
that's
yes,
adorable.
I work for a sandwich shop with a cause. So for every sandwich that we sell, we donate one to our four local nonprofit partners. It is a not just a local sandwich shop. So we are a corporation. And we have 17 locations right now. But
You can say the name.
I know. I could say Even Stevens. Even Stevens is a name. Come on out.
All right.
You can find me.
They also do. You guys do like actual like charitable like fundraisers and drives once in a while too, right?
Yes, we do work very closely with our four nonprofit partners. So every store has four. They're always different. So whenever we open our second location, then they're going to be four other ones. So we work with nonprofits that have good standing in the community and have, hunger as one of their mission statements is that they want to, alleviate hunger in the United States. So,
nice.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know until I started working for them, how big of a problem hunger issues are. I mean,
if you were to just look at elementary school children, the stats would blow your mind.
It's sad. It's really sad. I mean,
and then you expand that to the rest of the population, and it just is exponential.
If I'm remembering correctly, somewhere in the ballpark of 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 elementary school students in Idaho.
In Idaho, yep. Yeah, it's a very low number, and that's what's kind of sad about it, because we are a state that has quite a few, you know, we're very agricultural, but it always seems that those states or those counties that have the most agriculture are usually the ones that are the hungriest.
Yeah. They're not giving away their produce.
No,
that's
because
not how that
the
works.
Farmers need all that money because they want to eat too.
Right, exactly. So
you can't feed children on potatoes alone.
No, but you could, and they're delicious.
Yeah, I know.
And they've got so much
form.
Nutrients. Yes. But it's, I mean, really, the stats are...
Idaho girls. What do you say?
Yeah. The stats are really every American, just about every American is just one medical or job loss away from having hunger and, you know, just going
being
hungry
problem.
And being
one unstable paycheck.
Unstable. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of one of those things where, this company, you know, we are for profit. We're a for profit company, but, we are trying to help our nonprofits because nonprofits need more help. And I will say that, very adamantly, you know, and so we're trying to give them money so that they can work on different programs because
like getting clams to sea otters.
Oh, goodness.
To the hungry sea otters.
Those hungry sea otters. Yes, exactly. If only we had a nonprofit that made sure that.
If only somebody were to step up with a degree in biology. Who
oh,
could
goodness. Yeah.
Help save the sea otters.
But I'll just do this one catering at a time and then help people and
awesome.
Just dream sometime that later on when I have money, I'll be able to help the hungry sea otters.
Yes.
All right. And remember, not. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.